You're listening to Pushing the Odds on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts and Rocket Mortgage.
Live from Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
Let's head to the Progressive Guest Line. Let's talk some NFL football with our good friend James Palmer from the NFL Network on the Progressive Guest Line here on Pushing the Odds. James, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm good, Matt. How you been?
I am wonderful. Let's talk Thursday night football. Broncos 0-3. Jets 0-3. Awesome game we have to watch. But it's football, so we're going to watch it. Tell me a bit about Brett Rypien and what this kid's going to bring to the table for the Broncos in his first NFL start.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you called him Brett, because that's not how he was announced as the starting quarterback by Vic Fangio, as he said, we're going to start Mark. I mean, Brett, sorry, I keep doing that. I keep referring to him as his uncle. What they're looking for and why they made another change, which is now the ninth different quarterback that is going to start for the Denver Broncos since the retirement of Peyton Manning, which is remarkable. It's now two ahead of, I think, Washington, the Jets, and the Browns in that time span is the most, is because he has to get rid of the football quickly. They do believe that he processes very quickly. We saw him play, you know, really, really well at Boise State and then go undrafted 2 years ago, but they think he processes quickly. He gets rid of the football quickly. 13, you know, 2 weeks. And that was the issue with Jeff Driskel. Obviously, Blake was only there for a handful of days, with this being a Thursday game, that he wasn't even in the conversation to be the starter. But hey, maybe we can be the 10th in the following week against the Patriots, and you know, a little extra time, and maybe Bortles gets thrown into the mix, because Locke isn't just quite ready. There's a small chance he's ready for that game against the Patriots, but a greater chance for the game against Miami. But I think Rypien does really go through things mentally very quickly, and that's what they've liked with Pat Shurmur. But don't be surprised if Jeff Driskel gets used in some capacity with that athletic ability he has, if they sprinkle him in at some times.
James, what does the rumor, report, whatever you want to call it, involving the job status of Adam Gase, how does that factor into this game for the Jets? Do you expect them to play harder than normal, play for their coach, or could this be the other way where it's a letdown spot for the Jets because they want to change with their head coach?
Yeah, it's usually, Matt, right, let's win one for the Gipper. We know his seat is pretty hot, and I'm not sure if this is entirely that type of situation. You know, ownership is starting to get restless with where things are. He's starting another season just as he did last year, you know, as poorly as it was. And they have to start making great decisions within the organization. Obviously, the head coach is the most important one. I think they have a really good general manager. I'm a fan of Joe's. And so I do think the other spot outside of Adam is they need to figure out this year if Sam Darnold's the guy. And I think we've already seen, you know, Chicago's making a switch on a high-drafted quarterback. They have, you know, make the decision on the fifth-year option for Sam, and he's not playing in the manner in which, you know, they thought he would kind of grow in this third year. So if you're going to be in the situation that they're in with another new head coach, probably an interim coach, where you do have Greg Williams, who's done it before with some success, and you're looking for a quarterback as well, you know, those two are so tied together now in the league that, yeah, this is going to be a really interesting Friday. I'll say that. Much more interesting in with the Jets organization than it is with the Broncos.
Do you think the Jets might be in the running for Trevor Lawrence? I mean, Sam Darnold, stats-wise, is one of, if not the worst starting quarterback right now in the NFL. If things go south, if they lose to the Broncos on Thursday, could you see them say, look, we're going to go and be 2-14 and be comfortable getting the first pick in the draft and go for Trevor Lawrence?
I mean, anybody's going to want Trevor Lawrence. I mean, that's not an argument. I mean, he's one of those guys where you talk to scouts around the league and they'll say there's been a handful of them over the years. You know, John Elway, Peyton Manning, probably Andrew Luck. And that's kind of it in terms of that type of player. And I think he is a guy that most teams in the league believe is going to change your organization immediately. And if Sam Darnold continues to play the way he's playing, I think it's a no-doubter that that's who you go with. I think if you have the first overall pick, whoever you are, I'm trying to think of a situation where a team's like, I need to trade out of this spot because they have somebody that they love more than Trevor Lawrence in their situation. But I just think he is that good, and that talented, and the guy who's sitting at number two is not that far behind in Justin Fields. So I think you have a very good option if you're one of those teams at the top of the ranks. But that's what they need to figure out. If slow start or it's a regression, and this is what they're going to get from him moving forward.
All right, James, so COVID obviously is a major topic this week, unfortunately, with the Titans. It's affecting two games because the Titans playing, you know, in a game where it looks like they had a coach have COVID-19. It's been obviously an outbreak now with four players and five coaches who have COVID. Their game against the Steelers has been postponed on Sunday, but they're eyeballing Monday or Tuesday night football. What's your gut tell you on this? Obviously, we got to wait and see for all the tests come back, but would the NFL go Tuesday night football? Would that be possible?
It's definitely possible. It really is. And not shaking up the schedule to an extent that really, you know, changes, you know, how games are going to be played in the weeks leading forward is something that they'd like to avoid. And this is a coin, obviously, with two sides to it, right? Obviously, we're all talking about Tuesday night football. Wow, that's so 2020, or, you know, that's the situation we're in. I think Mike Vrabel did a really good job when he talked to all of us this afternoon and making sure that the human element of this isn't lost. I mean, this is a pandemic. This is people's health. There are people in that building that are, you know, they're not asymptomatic. They're suffering from symptoms of COVID-19. And, you know, this is that side of things, I think, can't be lost. But at the same time, I do believe the team has been following, from everything that I've been told, the protocols that once they knew things were there, they went into rapid testing like was told by the NFL. They've gone through all the proper procedures moving forward. But as Dr. Sills said today, we're not out of the woods. And this is one of the things I think in all of sports we're going to be watching greater than anything, because if this turns into something to where games can't get played, it's going to be a really, 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 really big deal. And the NFL doesn't have as much of an opportunity to change things and play doubleheaders like we do in baseball when things were kind of thrown for a loop there. So I do think the Titans have done everything right. The league has done everything right. It's just a situation like this was almost inevitable. It's just now, how do you contain it? How do you make sure there are, you know, as few people getting sick in your building as possible, and that it also wakes up the other clubs that I've spoken to today that have really gone to extra lengths in their buildings to make sure that their players are well aware and their coaching staffs are well aware of, you know, what's at stake and how quickly this can change. Hopefully this is something that's contained quickly. Everybody health-wise is, you know, not affected too greatly, and that the league uses this as an opportunity to make sure that they're sticking with the protocols the best they can.
So, James, on Tuesday, and it was a big story here locally, I did a lot on this radio show about it, and obviously it's become a national story now with the Raiders at an event on Monday night here in Las Vegas for Darren Waller's charity event. And I'm not trying to knock someone trying to raise money or do good for a charity and underprivileged people. But the attitude that the 10 players had for the Raiders and the attitude of the people inside of the Dragon Ridge Country Club here in Las Vegas was startling and flat-out scary, to be quite honest. If we're going to play football, to have 10 players not wearing masks, yucking it up, taking pictures, you know, hugging people, and then Darren Waller posting it to Twitter like it was a normal thing, like it was 2019, and, hey, look at Derek Carr. He's hugging the guy that bought two jerseys for $6,000 for my charity, and then him, I guess through the results of the people responding, like people like me going, what is going on right now, having to delete it. Both, I mean, all 10 players were at practice today, but there are reports out there that the Raiders are really mad and that Mark Davis is really mad. The PA and the NFL and the Raiders could fine and or punish the players who were at that event violating the protocols. Have you heard anything what the Raiders could do?
I haven't heard specifically what they could do, but I do know that the league is looking into all things that are related to this and everything else moving forward, and they're going to put their foot down on a greater stance moving forward than they have already. I think we are in a bit of, you know, I think they were talking about this on Monday night, like the league's done a great job, and I think they have, and I've been through the protocol on a daily basis, being in the Tier 2 group with the Tampa Bay Bucks through all of their training camp. And I do see how things can work really, really well. But that always comes with a letdown, right? And people start to get comfortable and people start to go back to their normal lives. It's human nature. Don't want to get political in any sense, but we get mixed messages in how we're being approached and told from various points of our government about the seriousness of COVID-19. So I do think that makes things much more of a challenge. And Bruce Arians was talking to us today that if he has to be the mask police in their building, he's ready to work. This is something that, like I mentioned earlier, all of these aspects, as people start to relax a little bit because the league is operating very, very well, that everybody needs to make sure that it's operating well because they started by taking their proper protocols. And now when things start to get looser and teams and players start to get a little bit more lax, that's when the league is now going to start doing things like, okay, we can start fining people. We can start docking you draft picks. We can do other aspects of it. And this isn't the first time they've looked into the Raiders. So I do think that now the league understands with what's going on with the Titans that games are at jeopardy. They're going to be much more firm in fining and taking away draft picks from teams if they're not going to follow things the way that they want them to be followed.
Look, I love John Gruden, but when your coach gets a $100,000 fine for not wearing his mask, he's not exactly leading by example, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and I think, I mean, the number of coaches that were fined after, you know, that first round went through, I think it was, what, four or five, you could have made a case for many more. You definitely could have made a case for any more, and most of those coaches believe that they weren't the only ones. And so you're right. I think it does come from the top, and I mentioned Bruce Arians earlier. I hadn't seen a head coach, and I wasn't around everybody as much as I'd like to be because of COVID this year and traveling as much during training camp, but I didn't see a person more conscientious of what was going on than Bruce Arians, and I think that stems down from their – you know, throughout their entire organization. So I think there is a leadership aspect of this, the way the building goes. I know after Vic Fangio was fined as one of those coaches, you know, their organization put through, you know, a viewership type of situation for all of their coaches to go watch film of guys wearing masks and not wearing masks. I mean, that's the stuff that's going on in these buildings where you're showing coaches where they're coming up short and following the protocols.
James, we'll wrap with this. The Patriots have a big game against the Chiefs on a normal week. This would be the talk, the week, the game. But because of Ravens-Chiefs on Monday night, I think this game has been a little bit forgotten. But what do you make of the Patriots' chances on the road at Arrowhead against that high-flying Chief offense?
Well, I'll say this. The only teams that have really been able to, you know, contain Patrick Mahomes, and I've been at both of those Patriots games against him, were how Bill Belichick was able to control time of possession, how he was able to keep the football out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, how they were able to defensively do things that he hasn't seen before. He's still a young quarterback. He's brilliant and on pace to be the greatest we've ever seen. But Bill is better than anyone at giving you unscouted looks week in and week out and making one thing look completely different than it really is supposed to be. If anybody as a defensive mind has a chance against Mahomes, we've seen, you know, Bill do it before in the past. So I don't see anybody slowing down, Pat. I know Cam's going to have to come out and really put some numbers on the board, but Bill's had a couple of different approaches in how he's, you know, gone about Mahomes, and he's had some success more than really anybody else has.
It's going to be a ton of fun to watch that game come up this weekend. James, thanks for the time. Really appreciate you coming on.
No problem, Matt. Good talking to you.